Hello and welcome to this week's Health Report with me, Norman Swan. Today, how a search for cancer genes in a hard-to-treat form of cancer called sarcoma may lead to an unexpected life-saving use for a medication which was originally designed to treat psoriasis. The insight came from research at the Garvan Institute in Sydney into what looks like an Achilles heel in some forms of cancer. David Thomas is head of the Cancer Research Program at the Garvan. Welcome back to the Health Report, David.
It's nice to be here, Norman.
Just explain what sarcoma is. Remind us.
Yes, so sarcomas are rare cancers of the connective tissue, muscle, fat, bone and cartilage. And they particularly affect a young population. They're very uncommon and their cure rates are something around 60%. So we lose 40% of our patients to the disease.
And surgery is still the focus of treatment.
It's absolutely essential. And then we add chemotherapy and radiotherapy on top of that.
But it doesn't help everybody. Now, we need a little bit of history. I haven't got a lot of time, but a little bit of history, because the Americans did this sort of general gene search in sarcoma to look at what lit up, and they found this one gene, but it wasn't a cancer gene.
No, it was unexpected. It's a gene called GRM4, which none of us had ever heard of, and that sent us to the books, and we found that it was associated with inflammation, and that piqued our interest.
And what's the connection? We'll just draw the line now, because you, it was kind of ignored, and then you picked it up a few years ago.
Yes, that's right. So our first job was to try and figure out a way of verifying whether or not this very large genome-wide association study was true. So we,
which is really a dragnet for genes.
It is, and it often turns up false positives, which is why we were so obsessive about it. We generated a mouse which lacked GRM4, and that confirmed that the tumours developed more quickly when mice lacked the gene, which implied that it had a causal role. And then there'd been some studies recently suggesting that GRM4 regulated inflammation in the central nervous system in another mouse study. And that got our interest because immunotherapies, as you know, target the immune system.
So that's the cancer immunotherapies.
Yes, exactly.
And you came across this immune molecule that seemed to be involved.
Yeah, so central amongst the molecules that GRM4 regulated is the gene interleukin-23 or IL-23. And interleukin-23, we also put into our mouse model. And those mice were astonishingly protected from tumour development. Normally, when we knock out a gene in the immune system, the tumours develop more quickly because we impair the immune system's ability to eradicate the tumours. But this had the opposite effect. We were actually retarded. In fact, about 80% of the mice did not go on to develop tumours.
And these are mice that were prone to developing the tumour.
Yes.
But I thought that what you also found, so I'm getting confused now, but you know, I'm sure you'll clarify it for me, is that because not everything that happens in mice happens in humans.
That's right.
And you looked at human samples of osteosarcoma.
Yeah, so that was another piece of data that added to the puzzle. When we looked at interleukin-23 levels in human cancers, including in sarcomas, they were generally higher than the surrounding tissue. So it seemed to be associated with tumour development.
The opposite from what you found in the mouse?
No, exactly what you would expect from the mouse. So when we knocked out interleukin-23 in the mice, they were protected. They used interleukin-23 to... It was something we haven't seen, so it's an unusual thing to observe.
Okay, it matched what was in mice, but you can't really knock out the gene in humans.
No, but one thing that the mouse tolerating the loss of interleukin-23, because the mice were otherwise normal, suggests that when you target it in humans, they should also tolerate it. If you can lose it in your genome, then surely if you drug it and you knock it out with a drug, then you should have the same minimal effect. And that, of course, is the basis of the use of drugs that target interleukin-23 in skin disease.
Of course, it could be that the cancer just generates inflammation and then your interleukin goes up. It's not necessarily cause and effect.
Well, that's exactly right. And if that were true, then and it had nothing to do with it, then the tumours should have developed at the same rate in the presence and absence of interleukin-23 if it was just an epiphenomenon. But the striking effect of protecting the mice when you take out interleukin-23 suggests it plays a causal role.
So before we get on to treatment, what could be going, if it is causal, why would it be causing cancer?
I think because when you damage a tumour cell, when it's just beginning to form, it sends out a slew of alarm signals that are picked up by the immune system. And for a period of time, the immune system suppresses the tumour development. But then it goes into an equilibrium phase where, if you like, the battle is even. And then finally into an escape phase, so we hypothesize, when the cancers evade the immune system. And I think in that escape phase, not merely do the cancer cells become, so to speak, invisible or resistant, but they actually manipulate the immune system to drive their growth. And interleukin 23 generates the sort of inflammation that promotes cancer growth.
So is this a particularly weird effect in sarcoma or in osteosarcoma, or is it more widely applicable?
So it's certainly not just osteosarcoma, because colleagues of ours on the same paper that we've just published had shown the same thing with soft tissue sarcoma. But I suspect that interleukin 23 is going to be important in a range of cancers.
And you don't need to invent a new drug to block interleukin 23.
Isn't that wonderful? That's right. So one of the attractive reasons for focusing on this molecule was the fact that there were good drugs already around for the treatment of psoriasis, exquisitely potent drugs. Of course, they hadn't been used to treat cancer, so it raises the possibility that we could use those drugs as a new approach to immunotherapy, and one that's perhaps going to work better on osteosarcoma than drugs that we've had recently.
And have you got any preliminary evidence that they will do that?
No, because the trial isn't opening until the beginning of next year. But, you know, I think mouse studies are very well, as you know, Norman. They provide strong evidence or rationale behind a clinical trial, but you have to do the trial to know whether it's going to work. And that's what we'll find out hopefully next year.
So one of the problems with these, you know, we do quite a few of these sort of personalized medicine targeted therapies, is that when they work, they often work just for a while, and then the body finds another way around it. And I think in your paper you showed it's not just interleukin 3, there's a slew of other molecules around that are generated. Are you liable to get an initially hopeful result that then falls apart, or how do you?
It's interesting. I mean, that's generally true, that the drugs we use that target mutations, for example, tend to work for a brief period of time and then the resistance emerges. But one of the things about the immunotherapies is that once they awaken the immune system, even when you withdraw the drug, there seems to be a prolonged effect, a durable response that lasts for really something at long periods of time. And, you know, it's hard to know at this stage until we do the trial whether that will be the case with this molecule, but we hope to find out.
And how are you going to get enough patients for the trial, because it's a rare disease?
Well, so the program that we're running called the MOST trial, which is national, has had more than 350 patients with sarcomas enrolled in the past 3 years. So that will give us more than the 32 that we need for this study.
And I think it's one of the largest registries of its kind.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes, because that was our last story. David, thanks very much for joining us. Professor David Thomas is director of the Kinghorn Cancer Centre at St Vincent's Hospital and directs the Cancer Research Program at the Garvan Institute.